Praise the Lord. It's a great day. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'll begin at verse 1. Paul said, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit or word, nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand." Now, what he's about to say was that so that they would not be troubled about the things that they heard or what they were seeing happening. And there's things happening today. The work of the spirit of Antichrist is increased, but we need not be troubled or shaken or any other thing like that. But we can stand strong. We live in exciting times. Verse 3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now, concerning the end, people can get deceived, or he wouldn't say, "Let no man deceive you." Jesus spoke, Matthew 24, there would be deceivers going out who would have the spirit of Antichrist. John the Apostle spoke in 1 John chapter 2, of many who were deceived by the spirit of Antichrist, who were of them and went out from them, but they weren't really of them. In other words, they were in the midst of the church, but they weren't really true and sincere. They ended up deceived and going out and deceiving others because they were yielding themselves to the spirit of Antichrist. When it comes to the Antichrist spirit, it's not just something like in the future. Many times people tend to think that way, but rather it's the spirit of Satan himself coming upon men and into men or women to deceive God's people and to work towards Satan's end game, which is complete domination over humanity and over the world. Again, John the Apostle spoke of that there were many going out from their midst who actually had the spirit of Antichrist. They were not the Antichrist per se, but the spirit of Antichrist. And so it is today. Something you're going to see in a scripture here is we're not going to know who the Antichrist spirit is. So don't pay attention to people who say, "Well, I think I know who it is." Now, I'll show you in the scripture what I just said. But that spirit won't be released till we're taken out of the way, whether it be through death or the rapture, really makes no difference. Because the church is in the way. The church is a problem for the devil. And because of that, he hates the church with all that's within him. It says here, that day won't come except there's a falling away and then the man of sin be revealed. Now, the word falling away in the Greek is apostasia, which isn't just speaking to like people walking away from God per se, but rather the depth of that word, it's kind of a word with depth. The people of the world, the nations, all of humanity, will be brought to a point of making a decision for God through Jesus Christ or for themselves and for the world and for whether they know it or not, the spirit of Antichrist. Every human being is going to be brought to a decision. That has to happen before the Antichrist spirit is fully released and us taken out. Now, what we are living in is a time of the latter days, which is known by increased rebellion and so forth, abundance of all manner of vile sin. But on the God side of it, it's the gospel going to every nation. Now, I say that a lot because it's important. That's the days we're living in. The gospel going to all of the nations, and the body of Christ has that responsibility, whether they like it or not. God has given that to all of the church of Jesus Christ. Now, no one reaches everyone, but we do our part. beginning with where he placed us in the world, but also extending to the nations. And we endeavor to do that. But before all can be brought to have to make a decision, they have to first hear the gospel. Jesus said the gospel will be preached to all nations, and then the end come. Now, simultaneously to the Spirit of God working toward the end of the, which being the gospel to all nations, every people, every tribe, every tongue, simultaneous to that, you have the Spirit of Antichrist at work in the earth. Now, he was in John's day, and he still is today. And the Bible shows us it will wax worse and worse, so there'll be more and more evil as Antichrist spirit is working in humanity. And what his main deal is, or the criteria of identifying, it says, verse 4, he opposes and exalts himself above all that's called God or is of the worship of God, so that he would sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Or we could say it this way, the new covenant temple of God. I mean, there's Israel, but in terms of the church is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Very clearly stated in Ephesians chapter 2 and also 1 Peter chapter 2, that the Antichrist spirit wants to dominate the believers. He wants to take a place bringing believers to bow the knee, because God's glory is expressed through his people. Selah, just think about that. There has to come a falling away first. Antichrist spirit is working. He's against everything that has anything to do with God. So we see it manifest nowadays, human sexuality. Well, don't dare say God created you as a man or a woman. That's what the world's saying right now. Well, that's opposing God. God said, created you with certain organs, you're a man or you're a woman. And that's that. God had ordained for the home and the family that the man be the head of the house. When women begin to submit themselves to the spirit of Jezebel, they don't like hearing somebody like me say that. I've had many a woman take their husband right out of the church because of that. Because in their mind, they're the authority. Now, it's not a matter of, you know, is the husband doing everything perfect? Well, I can tell you right now, he's not. It has nothing to do with it. It's the fact God had ordained a role for the man and a role for the women, and they need to learn to walk together as one. That's not to be dismissive of the woman, nor is it to be belittling to a woman, but rather there are different responsibilities before the Lord. And Antichrist spirit hates that. He hates everything to do with what God established as family. He hates the fact that children should be taught to honor and respect their parents and to learn the fear of the Lord and have respect for their elders and respect for authority in this life. Antichrist spirit hates that. We are experiencing an undermining of all authority, which if you have a nation that has no authority, no laws, you will have utter chaos. And then the Antichrist spirit can gain control in an even greater way. Because then he has to come, he can cause people to believe there has to be a heavy-handedness to bring order. When people learn to walk in love and the law of God and respect one another, there's order in a society. Well, the Antichrist spirit is working. We need to be aware of that, yet not let that dominate our thoughts or become obsessive about it. Sometimes people get obsessive about all that's wrong. We can't be ignorant, but we have to look at what's right, what is good. We look at God first. What has been done? What work has he done in you, in people around you, in our community, in our nation? See, you're either going to be a person that looks at everything for what's wrong and what's not the way you think it should be, or a person who sees what is good and what God is doing and thus releasing faith and being part of the solution. All people become one or the other of those two people. Well, as everyone hears the gospel, and that is increasing into the world, and simultaneous to that, there is the spirit of Antichrist at work to bring persecution to those who believe, to bring control, to usher in more and more sin and rebellion. People will come to where there is a choice to be made. And everyone hearing the truth and seeing the evil and then making the choice, that, according to scriptures, what has to happen before the Lord's return. That makes it real simple in black and white, doesn't it? Now, I don't believe Jesus is coming back next week, next month, or in 2020. Because the world has not heard the gospel yet. A lot of it has, but there's a lot of it hasn't. There's a lot of work to be done. So I make that statement so no one gets in any anxiety about, like, Jesus coming back next week. But that being said, we should live every day with vision for our future, but being prepared it could be our last day. You have no guarantees, or you don't know how long you'll live on this earth. So we live for the Lord as though there's no tomorrow, but as though there is a long future ahead of us. You have to do both together. Well, this falling away, people coming to a choice and saying, I choose the flesh. I choose self. I choose the world versus Christ. Now, down at verse 5, he says, remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. And yet ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. The word withholdeth is the Greek word kateko, which is speaking of holding back or suppressing. He says, you know what's suppressing the spirit of Antichrist, what's holding him back. It's church. For the mystery of iniquity is already at work. Or the Antichrist spirit's already working in the earth. Only he who now lets, or it's really not a good English translation. It's that word kateko again. He who's holding back and restraining and suppressing the Antichrist spirit will until he's taken out of the way. And that's why Satan hates the church the way he does, because we're in the way. We're a problem for him. So he has to get rid of us. Now, if he can just intimidate, persecute, and people surrender and wave the white flag, well, then he's got his purposes. But the believers in Jesus Christ are in opposition to the work of the devil or Antichrist spirit. And he can't do what he wants to do. Now, in terms of the earth, that is at various levels in different places and parts of the world. Because we still have our constitution, the Antichrist spirit is very limited in his ability to persecute the church in the United States. That's why some of the recent maneuvers actually are an attack at our legal protection from this persecution. That's part of what's been going on. You know, Satan has tried to get evil politicians to want to undo these things. And in his frustration, well, he's got to come up with another strategy. Thus, it's a pandemic. We can take all, you have no rights because we have to protect you. Again, understand that for Antichrist spirit to project himself, he's going to have to project he's somehow good or saving people. And this is how the devil's working through governments right now, that we will save you. You can't save yourself. You're too dumb. You're too this, that, or the other. You need us to save you. We're smart enough, and we have the power to do it. And that is the whole essence of the beast, or the system of the beast spoken of in the book of Revelation, that there's a system and a empire of sorts. And where it talks about Babylon, it is speaking of that very Tower of Babel where man is rising up to save himself. And that's the delusion that Satan wants to bring to believers, as spoken down farther in that chapter, where he says, they that don't receive the love of the truth, to be saved would receive a delusion and believe a lie. The delusions that man can save himself. So now in the present day, we can trust God as our healer and protection, or say, oh God, oh, someone make a vaccine. Now, I'm not against vaccines per se, but if you're looking to that for your deliverance, that's where it's wrong. You know, man does a lot of things that's helpful and good, but we should never look to man to be our deliverance. We need to look to God. Because once we go down that road, then our trust is in man, or that's the Babylon spirit, and we are easily then deceived and manipulated to be controlled. And that's Antichrist spirit, the beast's ultimate aim is a complete control of people. But the delusions thinking man can save himself. And regardless of whether that's some religious thought or it's technology or money or whatever, it makes no difference. Either we trust God for our deliverance or we trust ourselves. We trust in man. So he says here that delusion comes that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. It's the love of the truth that'll keep you free. I'll just throw a thought out there for you to think about. Who will take the mark of the beast? Who's going to do it? Well, Scripture shows us they that don't love the truth. If you love pleasure more than the truth, you will take the mark of the beast. Don't lie to yourself or deceive yourself. A lot of people deceive themselves about a lot of things in life. And if we love the truth, we'll be free. We'll stay free, be set free and stay free. But if we love the pleasure of this world, the love of the world, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, if we love the world more than we love God, then we will bow ourselves to the one controlling the world, that Antichrist spirit. We will bow to that in order to try to hang on to the love of pleasure and the trusting in money, which is needed to pursue pleasure. It's interesting in 1 John 2, it says, don't love the world, the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. And the very next verse speaks of the Antichrist spirit. See, the Antichrist spirit works through the world. People begin to trust in the world for deliverance, and they live for the worldly pleasure. And when you do that, you won't be willing to die or lay down your life with the loss of those things. You will lay down your life for that which you love the most. God so loved the world, he gave a son. He loved you so much, he gave a son to die for us. Jesus so loved the Father and so loved the world, he laid down his life for us. And at the very end, we see that the Antichrist spirit will have the power to kill people. Now, whether we are raptured before that, I don't know. I don't see that the Bible really specifically says. You can make a case for a lot of different beliefs about the end time. I don't really see that it specifically says, and I think the reason, there's a few reasons for that. One is, he doesn't want us in our mind trying to figure everything out that's coming down the pike, but rather to live by faith day by day. That's one thing. We would tend to read into things and reason things. I mean, that's human nature to do that. But also, consider this as a possibility that leading up to the very end, that it will be incremental. And not bang all at once. It'll be incremental. In other words, as the Antichrist spirit is working to microchip everybody, mark the beast, digital currency and all that, it won't all happen bang all the same day. That's really not practical even to see it like that. But there'll be somewhat of a process leading into it. So we don't know exactly where we will fall in that process. In our heart, we need to be willing to die, because Revelation 12 says they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they love not their life to the death. So if it would be where you would be, you have a choice, be killed or for Christ, we'd be willing to do that. I don't necessarily know that that's going to be how it will be for everyone. It well may be that many will be raptured at a certain point, but some in the process of the incremental process of Antichrist spirit doing this, that some maybe would be killed beforehand. You know, that's happening even today. There are many all over the world that die because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Persecution against the church is increasing in many, many nations. We don't hear about it in our media because our media, for the most part, is owned and controlled by people that have submitted themselves to the Antichrist spirit. So we don't hear about it. Or not much anyway. But it's a reality. It's the love of the truth, the word of God, it's going to keep you. Those that love things of the flesh more are the ones who will, I'm talking about believers now, who may forsake following the Lord in their faith because they're trying to hang on to something of this life. Therefore, if you're blessed financially in a great way, you had better in your heart be giving it back to him. Just like Abraham, blessed with the son, gave the son back to God. And in turn, God gave his son to the world. It's very important. All that we have of this life, of the worldly pleasure, that as God blesses you more, and you will get blessed, you can't hang around Jesus and not get blessed. That we continue to the lifestyle, Lord, I give it all back to you. I give it all back to you. Not hanging on to anything of this life so tight that our life is wrapped up in it, but having a willingness in our heart, Lord, if today's the day I'm to come be with you, so be it. Praise the Lord. Heaven's before me. Now, that being said, there's work to be done. We stay here because of the work to be done. That's why we need to stay here. Well, I'm creating a context here from these verses. And we have all these things going on and people are all wound up and so forth. I really don't believe the end's just yet. I said that a few weeks ago. I'm saying it again. Because the gospel does have to go to the world. But that being said, what's happening with that is a pressing by the Antichrist spirit upon people to leave following the Lord, and for persecution to put pressure that they'd be offended with God, or use temptation and pleasures of this world, deceitfulness of riches, as Jesus shared in the parable of the sower, to use those things to pull people away. He's been doing that. Persecution, these things in particular, to pull people away. Now, for us, the thing we need to see is we are choosing life every day. If you choose life, you're choosing him every day, or in the realm of today, now. You don't have to fear what's coming up. You've already made the choice. Now, it's in the wisdom of God, believers gathering, and I've shared this at times and not too long ago about Jesus being the offering and us bringing the offering. We gather, we offer ourselves to the Lord. And that's what Romans 12, 1's talking about. Presenting ourselves a living sacrifice. Lord, I offer you, or I choose you. I choose life today. My choice is steadfast. I am living for you, not for this world. And as we live in this manner, fear doesn't have a place. You know, in the world, fear is like just overtaking people. Now, the present situation is going to pass soon. And there may be some who are trusting in the flesh. Well, the reason to be afraid is past, so I'll just kind of go my merry way and keep doing what I used to do. That's very sad if that is the reaction, because the situation at hand serves to, or it's beneficial to people to realize I need to trust God, not in myself, not in money, not in governments. I need Jesus as my Savior. But when the pressure's off, people will then just go right back to what they were doing before. When I say this, in our lifetime, I remember 1991, I believe it was in January, when we went to war with Saddam Hussein about Kuwait. And people were really scared because Saddam was saying, this is going to be the mother of all wars. Remember him saying that? Lasted 4 days. Well, we have 120 U.S. soldiers killed, and their military was wiped out. But people were afraid, and they flocked to churches for that couple days to pray. And I remember I was, you know, be driving around York County. I'd see different churches. All these cars in the parking lot. People were praying because they're scared. And God delivered us from what could have been. And the next week, there's no cars in the parking lot. They were only doing it out of fear. We fast forward now 29 years. We're under more of a threat now than we were there. Were people flocking to churches? No. Antichrist spirit said, you're not allowed to go to church. Well, that's dangerous to go to church. Yeah, it's dangerous for the devil. For believers to gather and to pray in the name of Jesus and believe for whatever it takes, depending on what you're dealing with, in this case, the power of God to heal and deliver us, that no plague will come nigh this house or your house or your body. I'm adamant about that. You know, there comes times you have to take stands for things. People can toot off and say they believe this or that, but you'll find out what you really believe when the pressure comes. Well, we have the work of the Antichrist spirit trying to tell people not to gather, not to pray. But there should have been an uproar. When this is going on, what's going on, should have been an uproar. Hardly any churches open. There's some, well, not just us. There's a few others. I have no idea how many. I don't want to be like Elijah and say, I'm the only one. And the Lord corrects him and says, there's 7,000 more, just like you. Oops, sorry. God has people. Maybe some aren't obeying, but some are. So we have to, you know, be careful. Just because you don't know something's going on doesn't mean it's not going on, good or bad. But the people should have been in an uproar. Not because they're going to lose their business, but because the Antichrist spirit is rearing his head up and taking our liberties to worship God away, let alone other liberties as well. Well, praise God for our president. Just in case you're not aware, Friday he came out and said, this closure of church is going to stop. I'm putting it in my own words, and that's not an exact quote. And if these governors don't back off, I'm going to come down on them. Now, who has what authority? Well, we'll find out. But praise God, someone's standing up for us. We are not a people that don't have a voice in high places. That's bad when no one, you have no one who will speak in your behalf. There are many legislatures in our state who are saying enough is enough. The York County DA has said, I will not prosecute people that are not bowing down to this governor's orders. Those elections are important. They're very important. A lot of times people just vote for president and they don't vote besides that. It's like, praise God. There's somebody that fears God in a position to make it a little bit easier for us. Whether there's prosecution or not, we still need to obey God and do what we need to do. Well, there is the confrontation. Truth brings confrontation. And the enemy wants you to back down and to surrender. So whatever it takes, whatever we have to do, we can't do that. And that decision will be made all around the globe, all over the world, before the return of Christ. First, they have to hear the gospel. Antichrist spirit's coming right after their decision. And then the end can come. So I want to stay focused more so on the gospel to the nations. But we have to be aware, because if we see the whole context, we can see what's going on. Now, as far as I'm concerned, for whatever it's worth, a lot of people failed this test. I'm not thinking any of you. You're here. These ones that raised a white flag failed the test of this hour. And Antichrist spirit, he plays games with these things. Because this is the first time in human history the whole world was commanded to bow their knee at the same time. It's never happened before. And that shows how far along we really are in these last days. That the nations, through the work of a spirit of fear, which is part of how controlling governments, controlling spirits works through imposing fear, how it could release that spirit of fear to bring the whole world to bow the knee and surrender. I just marvel at that. It's like, wow, we are that far along. It's going to subside. But the enemy attacks in waves. There'll be another wave, whether it's another disease or whether it's something else. Now, I'm saying certain things I've been saying for the recent weeks. It's not that I don't have anything else to teach. So we need to hear this now. We need to have a perspective. And maybe you can help somebody else that you're encountering that does not have God's perspective on all this. Well, the choice. Throughout the Bible, the choice between life and death, good and evil, is presented. Deuteronomy 30, this choice was presented beginning at verse 15. And the whole book of Deuteronomy was like a month before the children of Israel were going to go into the promised land. Moses is reviewing all of these things. So here at verse 15, he says, "See, I've set before you this day life and good, death and evil. And that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes and judgments, that you might live, multiply, and the Lord God bless thee in the land where you go to possess it." So God gives a choice. He's saying you have a choice. Life and good, death and evil. In his love, he commands us to love him. People who don't like anyone telling them what to do, many times they don't like God telling them what to do. It's a very, very dangerous way to walk. And people will be proud about it. "Yeah, nobody tells me what to do." Or they might not say that. They just act that way. "Yeah, nobody tells me what to do." Or you hear the word command. And there are many who will say, talk about having some liberty in Christ, that there's no commandments and obedience is like bondage. Don't listen to a fool that says that. That's about as ignorant as it gets of the scriptures. Yet there'll be many who are hailed as, oh, great teachers, because they can tell a story and make you laugh. But if they don't bring the commandments of God, they're really outside of where God is. He commands us to love him. He did there. Jesus reissued that command, and throughout the epistles, it's still there today, to love him with all of our heart, all our soul, all our might, to walk in his ways, not our ways, his ways, to keep his commandments. And he says, if you'll do that, because it's a covenant relationship, you keep my commandments, you believe me and trust me for my promises, you'll be blessed completely. Now, again, I remind you, part of the blessings, healing, deliverance, protection, all that we would need in these ways is part of our blessing, so we don't have to fear what we hear is going on around us. He says, but if your heart turn away so you will not hear and shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day, you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days on the land and pass over Jordan to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day, or that word records also witness, this day against you, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Your life is the product of the choices you make. People that are always blaming someone else will never be free. This whole victim mentality is bondage. That's bondage. You're saying, well, I'm here because somebody else. Someone may have done something to hurt you, but you have a choice. Today you can choose life. Today you can choose to follow the Lord and his blessings to be released in your life. It's a choice. God did all that was needed for us to have life through Jesus Christ. We need to make the choice, and we do it daily. He says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. Now, I like to say when I look at this, if you were a student and you're being given a test, it's really nice when the teacher gives you all the answers while you're getting the test. Then you just choose the right answer. He's always laying it out there. Choose life. God's saying, I set the choice before you, and I'm going to tell you what the right choice is, life. That you might love the Lord your God and obey his voice, that you would cleave to him. He's your life. It's not money. It's not worldly pleasure. It's not anything of this world. He is your life. So we choose him. We choose life. So for them, now they had come out of bondage, but for them to go into the promised land, they need to make this choice. Then we have Joshua chapter 24. And at this point, the children of Israel had gone into the promised land. They had partaken of their inheritance. And now they have another choice. And Joshua confronts them and says, now therefore fear the Lord, verse 14, chapter 24, and serve the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and truth. Put away the gods your fathers served on the other side of the flood or the river from where they came. And in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, or bad, it's bad to serve the Lord, not having any fun. I mean, that's what people that love this world think. Well, it's not fun to serve the Lord. Oh, there's great joy in knowing and serving the Lord. There's great joy in love. To walk in love is the higher joy. It's not playing games. So he says here, if it seem evil to serve the Lord, choose this day who you'll serve. God your father served, or the gods of the Amorites. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now that's leadership. He declares before them his choice. I will serve the Lord. My family is going to serve the Lord with me. We will serve the Lord because he is our God. He brought us into this blessing. So we owe it to him to serve him all the days of our life. The people answered and said, God forbid we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Now, when we read something like that, we can tend to think, well, I'm not bowing down to a 12-inch little carved statue like you might see in a place like India. So I'm good. But whatever we're committing ourselves to and bowing to, whether it's material things, which is very prevalent in the United States, or people, family members, someone you idolize as a person, it's all idolatry. It's all other gods unto us. And if we forsake the Lord for something else, he goes on down there basically saying, God's jealous, down at verse 19, and you'll be consumed. And the people said to Joshua, no, we'll serve the Lord. We'll serve the Lord. And Joshua said to people, your witness is against yourself that you've chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. When we make the choice, it's followed by our confession. In Romans 10, when it talks about being saved, it's not saying a prayer and I'm going to heaven. But rather, the whole context is man can't take away a sin of the Roman letter. that righteousness by grace through faith, it's a gift of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But by faith, we can receive salvation. We can receive righteousness and eternal life. So then he goes on and says, down to chapter 10, that if we believe in our heart, God raised him from the dead, and we confess Jesus as Lord. That doesn't mean just, oh, I said a prayer. In other words, by your vow, by your words, you declare, Jesus, you are my Lord. I commit and submit myself to you because I believe who you are and what you've done. Jesus, I choose you because covenants, see, that those cultures understood covenant better than people in this part of the world. It's made through a vow. That's why when a marriage covenant's being made, it's all about the vow. You enter into a covenant with that person. Your vow. It's through your word. It's not a pageant and a party. That's how a lot of weddings are today. It's a beauty pageant and a party afterwards. No, it's about the vow. And you're entering into that. Well, when we accept Jesus as Lord, it's based on we believe certain things. We have an understanding. Our eyes are open to see. We are repenting of sin and living for this world and turning to him to be Savior of our soul and our very source of life. And we confess him, Jesus, you are my Lord. So your confession is the witness then. What you confess is what you believe. Your confession is the witness to the choice. Now, that's true when it comes to salvation. It's true when it comes to healing. As I was stating earlier on, you know, we confess, I believe Jesus Christ is my healer. Therefore, I confess, I believe that will be manifest in my life. I believe he will protect and deliver and heal. And all of those things, I believe that. So we hold fast our confession. And that's how the kingdom of God works. Many times people, they put words out and they don't keep them. I've rarely ever had anyone who's left me ever actually come face to face and tell me. Rarely ever. Rarely ever. And the reason is they know, because I preach this, they know. They said, God told me to be with you, to serve alongside of you. And now they're chucking it. And they know I'm going to say, you said, God said, you're called to be with me, to work together. So they'll never come and tell me I'm flaking off, flying off, I'm offended, whatever the problem is. They won't come say. I live by this. See, this is what's going to keep you on the path. Where you know what you believe, you know what God has said, you hold fast the confession of your faith, you release faith, you walk it out. And he's given us the Holy Spirit, whereby we have the power of God to walk out the will of God and the purpose of God, the plan of God. So when we begin to say and confess what we believe God's will is, then there's a commitment that comes with that. And that commitment will be kept by way of the confession or the power of God's release by his word. So we see that here in Scripture. Well, if that applies to us relationally, I mean, how much more in our walk with God? How much more? Sometimes people fear the unknown. I mean, that's natural to man. They fear the future. What's going to happen? God's grace is sufficient for you. Whatever you're going to face in the future, his grace is sufficient. That doesn't change. The covenant's not going to change. And Jesus is the guarantee of this new covenant. The power of God won't end up coming up short or not being enough. His power is always more than enough. He's God El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. When we tithe, that's part of our prayer. Is declaring who he is. Lord, you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Lord, I thank you've always provided for us. my expectation into tomorrow, next week, next year. That's not going to change. I declare it. You are El Shaddai, the God of more than enough, the God of abundance. That's what that means. The God of abundance and more than enough. So to me, it's a moment in time. It's my wife and I to step forward during worship as a part of worship, tithe before the Lord, declaring what he says about him and our finances. He's El Shaddai. He's more than enough. You don't have to be afraid of what you're going to face when you know he's more than enough. When he said, when Moses was all worked up about, Yahushua, I tell him, sent me. He said, I am the I am. It means I'll be whatever you need me to be. That's what that means. We don't have to be afraid of the future. Things are changing. Everything's being shaken. Many prophetic voices have been saying for a little while now that what's happening is there's a shaking of everything that can be shaken. And people are very unsettled with that. But when you know you're standing on a rock, you're on the solid ground. Your faith is your firm foundation. As we understand that, we don't have to be afraid. And I trust you're learning to walk in the light of that, that you're not afraid. If you are, there is an answer. Dig into the thing that I'm sharing with you. There is an answer here. The world's being brought to a choice. Many will choose life and be saved. Some will say, oh, I don't want to let go. I close out with this story. I've shared this before, but it bears repetition. I know a lady. She's in her 50s. She's Korean. And her father was a pastor. And her father was in North Korea prior to the going full-blown communist and the war and all that. And she told me there was three waves of people that came out of Korea. Back in the 1900s and the 1910s, Pyongyang, which is the capital of North Korea, was viewed as the Christian Mecca of Asia. It was the Jerusalem of Asia. It was the most Christians of anywhere of all of Asia was in Pyongyang, North Korea. Now, there's other accounts historically that state that. And again, if you hang out with Jesus, you get blessed. They were getting blessed. And there were three waves of people that came across the border into the south before the border shut. And the communism took full control. And they killed whoever didn't bow their knee to them, be it Christian or intellectuals. It didn't make any difference. They killed them. And I had asked her, I said, I would think, knowing how principle is, that God had prophets speaking of what was about to happen. Because it says in the word, that he won't do anything except he reveals it to the prophets. And she said, yes, my father said that. There was a prophetic voice speaking of what was going to come there. And the word of the Lord was to flee to the south. And she said, her father was one of the very last over the border, the last wave. But that many did not cross the border because they had material things. They were blessed. I'm talking about Christians now, not unbelievers. Christians were very blessed because of their relationship with God. And they had a choice to make. I can let go of my things and cross into the south and have my life and still serve the Lord, or I can try to hang on to my things. And they couldn't hear the prophetic voice, even though they heard it with these ears. They couldn't hear it because of their love for things. And I marveled at that. Until I met this lady, I didn't know that piece of history. But it is so, so relevant. If we love the world, anything of the blessing of this world, whether it's material or people or whatever else, more than we love the Lord, when we are faced with that choice, we'll be like those people who stay behind hoping to hang on to it. That kind of choice will be an absolute when it comes to a digital currency. and you're told you cannot buy or sell except you have the chip. Now, will we all be here when that happens or not? I don't know. Sometimes people, they try to reason things out. I'm not going to do that. I've been reading over all those scriptures over and over and over, and I just don't see that it says clearly. It's okay. God, I guess you don't want us to know. I guess you just want us to live by faith the whole way up to the end. That's where I come more to the conclusion. Some will probably be killed in the process of it happening, and some will go in a rapture. It's not for us to fret about stuff like that. We shouldn't be afraid of death anyway. Jesus conquered death for us. We have eternal life. Heaven's our destiny. No, but we let go. And, you know, you could have time of being sustained by miracles if you can't buy and sell, if we're still here during that time. That's what I would expect if I'm still here. If they kill me before then, well, you just made it fast for me to get to heaven. Or whether we're raptured out, what difference does it make? Really, what difference does it make? The issue is loving him above everything else, seeing that he is my source of life, holding fast to your confession of faith and the choice that you've made. You made a choice just to be here. Many believers are, well, no, I don't want any trouble. There's just sometimes there's things you can't back off from. Praise the Lord. Well, hold fast your confession of faith and allow the power of God to work in your life. We have no reason to fear the future, but we continue to press on in his will. Amen, amen, amen.